This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us. We're talking about history today. We're talking in particular about a piece of history in our area that is in danger of disappearing. The Slifer House in Lewisburg has been a historic structure on the National Register of Historic Places. It has served as a museum and has had other functions as well, but now it may be torn down. There's an organization of individuals locally, though, who are hoping to stop that from happening. They have some various ideas on how to avoid seeing this historic structure removed from our valley. Kirsta Riesinger is with us on the program today. She has a connection with the house and is working with some other folks who see it as an important part of the area. She's joined us today to talk about the organization she has formed to work on preserving the Slifer House in Lewisburg. Kirsta, thanks for being with us on the program.
Kirsta, for our listeners, if they live in Lewisburg or if they travel through Lewisburg, they've certainly seen or are aware of the Slifer House. But give us a little background, first of all, before we get into, you know, the recent events.
Hi. First, I wanted to say thanks for having me. With the Save the Slifer House Committee, I'm the president, and I'm also the president of the nonprofit foundation. I was raised United Methodist, so my great-grandmother lived when that was called, when Riverwoods was called the Methodist home. So she lived there. And growing up, I had a lot of jurisdiction meetings at Riverwoods because of it being a part of our faith tradition. So the Slifer House has been interwoven between my faith, my family, and my upbringing. So the Slifer House isn't just an old building to me. It's a part of our shared story. It's tied to a nonprofit organization meant to serve the public good. So decisions about its future aren't just private. They're community decisions. Our vision is to collaborate with Asbury to preserve the house as an intergenerational community center. Seniors and students gardening together, movie nights on the lawn and upstairs. I've five cozy Airbnb-style suites where families visiting loved ones at Asbury can stay close. We're asking you to join the committee, sign a pledge or a letter of support, and share our message if you agree with us.
Okay. I've been to the museum several times, but now what has changed since the house closed? They actually cleared the stuff out, is that correct?
So there was an auction in May, and I am not sure what all has been left or what has not been left. I do not have access to the house at this current time. We just met with some Asbury directors, and they have to speak with the board because they're run by a board. So we don't even have access to the house right now to be able to do those feasibility studies and stuff that we need to do.
But as a person growing up here, were you able to see the things in there? What's kind of your impression of it as a museum?
I went there as a Girl Scout multiple times with my troop. I remember going there for Easter, and we had Easter egg hunts on the lawn. So all of those are the memories that I hold with that house. And it's not necessarily the adult historical perspective that I have now that I did when I was a child. But now I obviously understand the Delta Place and the history that's involved with the house.
But the company now that owns the nursing facility is the one who makes the final decision, I would assume, because they're the ones that want to remove it, because of cost reasons?
I am not entirely sure. I believe that they want to knock it down to put up more assisted living facilities. I do think, though, because they are a nonprofit, they are a public charity, so it should be a communal conversation rather than just a business decision.
Like, I would feel like, couldn't they sell that property for the historic? It's on the National Register, correct?
It is, yes. And we would love to buy it if they would do that. It doesn't sound like they want to sell it. We also would be open to leasing it. And I think our plan B would be to move the house. But that's kind of our last resort.
But would be totally torn down. I mean, this is, for folks who are not familiar with it, it's not something you can renovate into new a new kind of structure.
Well, not a new kind of structure, but you can definitely renovate it. There's so we looked at using partnerships with SunTech, Penn College, and Bucknell to renovate, and all of them have said that they're interested in helping us, which decreases the cost of renovation by 36%.
Wow. So there's you're already a step ahead of the game here.
Well, I tried to not just be like, "Oh, we just don't want you to knock down the house." Yeah. I want to convey that we have a vision, we have a plan, and we want to turn this building into an asset rather than a cost. Okay.
And again, if you drive past that, I mean, it would really change the what passes for a skyline in Lewisburg. I mean, it's I would miss it.
Yes, and it's gorgeous architecture. It's built by Samuel Sloan, who was of Philadelphia. In 1861. So this is a beautiful old building that survived the Civil War.
And built before the Civil War by Eli Slifer.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So survived Civil War. It's survived one previous demolition attempt, and we are trying to save it once again.
So it's been in the news enough over the years.
Right. Yeah. 1972 is when they saved it first. And that's when they made the Delta Place pamphlets. And that's when they put it on the National Historic Registry.
And I know I'm a history nut, but I mean, when I toured it, it was just fascinating to me. You know, something so local. I mean, you think of, you know, going to, Midwest or Texas and seeing historical things. But this is so much history in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Eli Slifer has a lot of historical connections. He made addresses after the Civil War because he was Secretary of State of Pennsylvania. And there's beautiful writings of his that me and the committee have been reading just to kind of keep up to date on the history.
Okay. Sounds like, as with so many things in life, it comes down to money for the company. But so I guess that's why you feel like if we can provide an alternate way that this will be, you know, profitable to the community.
Yes, that's our proposal to them, is that we have a thing, we have a plan, we have a way for it to be renovated and for it to benefit not only the seniors that are living there, but also the college students from Bucknell and the local families. And we see this intergenerational hub as that solution where everybody can come and enjoy this historical building and also just share stories and memories.
Okay. And did when we say we, who does we include at this point? Are you kind of gathering people, or you have a core group?
So we have a nonprofit foundation, which is the Eli Slifer Foundation, and there's three core officers or board of directors within that foundation, and then underneath that foundation is a Save the Slifer House Committee. So there's people who are involved with that. I believe we have seven subcommittee chairs within the Save the Slifer Committee. And then there's also we have a Facebook group, Save the Slifer House Facebook group. We have 510 members on that. We have Instagram and TikTok, which those are both growing. We also have a website, and we have a change petition, which I believe the change petition just broke 2,500 signatures.
Wow. Any sort of events and so forth that you have in mind to bring this to people's attention, or do you get out to the street fairs and so forth?
So we are looking at tabling right now. We're probably going to look at doing something outside of Wise or Walmart. Obviously, a lot of the local stuff is kind of done for the season as far as like the Woolly Worm Festival or anything like that. So we are looking at doing more stuff in the spring, but I am hoping to try to bring this to people's attention sooner rather than later, just so they know. There's also a group called Preservation Pennsylvania, Preservation PA, which is going to partner with us, which puts the house on something called the PA at Risk List, which is a list that gives us funding, grants, and legal help. So that will happen December 1st, that the house will be put on that list, which will give us a lot of attention throughout the state.
Okay. Sounds like you went from that personal connection to probably doing a lot of research as to, you know, what steps you could next take.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've spent days and days looking at stuff. I also commend everybody who works on the committee because they each have their own experiences that they bring to the table. And we all are looking at what we can do as far as legal options, as far as funding options, you know, even the vision of our future of the house. That was a collaborative effort between all of us.
And my listeners who have heard these interviews over the years, whenever I talk about something historical, I always bring this up. But in Danville, the birthplace or home, at least, of Abigail Geisinger, who, of course, was the founder of the what is pretty much the employer now in the town. But they got to a point where somebody decided to tear down that and put up a parking lot. So it sounds like that old song. But why? You know, I mean, that's so I would say I hope you can come to Danville, maybe, because I know there's lots of history people there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have tried to reach out to a lot of different resources. We would love to work with anybody, the Union County Historical Society, the Columbia County Historical Society, anybody who wants to come and work with us or even just give us a letter of support would be great so that we can work together.
Did you see yourself doing this before you got into it, or was this, did it kind of hit you out of nowhere?
No, I am a nurse, so that's my job. I kind of fell into this because I joined the Facebook group and I went to a township meeting, and I, for some reason, thought that it was off the chopping block, and so I wasn't even really paying attention until I went to that township meeting and realized that demolition was very much on the table and the days were numbered, and that's when I started to get involved.
You got the sinking feeling I got the first time I heard it. I thought, what? Tear it down?
Right, yeah, exactly. It's a historical building, and it's on the historical register. Like, we already have the proof that it's a historical place.
It just seems like there's plenty of old buildings out there, but some of them are falling down. But when you have something that's such a part of Lewisburg.
Right. And I do think there probably is some work that needs to be done to it. But until we get architects in there to do a historical review, we don't really know what it all needs or how much that's going to cost.
But leaving it alone for years will probably guarantee it does come down. So that's I guess your work is rather timely.
Right, exactly. And that's why we are trying to convey to Asbury that we want this to be an asset and that we want it to be something that's a hub that's living again for this community.
Okay. And where can I send people to learn more? Are they send them to that Facebook page? Is that the basic connection?
Yes. So we have Save the Slifer House Facebook page. We also have a website, SaveTheSliferHouse.com. We also have a phone number, 570-649-8403. We also have Save the Slifer House at gmail.com if you prefer email, or any of the various social medias. We're on all of them. Our committee is meeting every 2 weeks, so our next meeting is going to be November 19th, and we do it on Teams to make it real easy for anybody who's in the area or out of the area to be able to come and give us their ideas and support.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.